All right. So we'll get started this morning. And so we do have some guests here, Marcus and Michaela from GFCC. Ari back there. So her husband, and y'all can just be praying. Her husband is stuck down in Colombia, and COVID has slowed down the whole process, which y'all are familiar with Heidi and Ray. So be praying for them, and that Jefferson, her husband, can get free and come back to the States. So, and then we got Ryan and Leah with us this morning as well. So, all from. I didn't forget him. It's just that it's known. Everybody knows who the clown is. No, sorry. Dude, if you weren't a clown, it wouldn't be nearly as fun. So anyway, let's open in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning, God. And you have been so good this week. And God, I pray that it wouldn't end. I pray that this would just be a continuance in our lives from day to day, Lord. Not just in our services on Wednesday night and Sunday nights, but in our hearts each morning, all throughout the day and the evenings, God, that you would continue to move mightily, Lord. Let these things be written on our hearts this week. Let us meditate on them. Let it work in us deeply. God, I ask for Jeff and Tammy and Miss Jerry, God, and their family, that you'd continue to minister into that family, God, that you'd use this time. I know Jeff's greatest desire is that Jesus Christ would fill every one of his family's hearts, God, Whitney and everyone else. So, Lord, move in this time. Use this time. To let your gospel go forth into these hearts. I know they've heard it, God, but let there be something new. Let there be a breakthrough. Work, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for this time this morning, God. Use it. Teach us. In Christ's name, amen. So I'm going to close this out real quick. I actually didn't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I didn't want it to get stale because it's been a few weeks. So we've been doing a little bit of a mix, but we've been doing a book, Parenting by Paul Tripp, and it's just been really good. We've had an explosion of kids in the group, so it's a good time. But the neat thing about it is that everything, it's all about bringing the gospel into your parenting, and the neat thing about it is that everything we've studied in here is so applicable to our daily lives and how we interact with others and how we deal with others in our lives, whether it be our family or coworkers or people out in the community. And so this chapter we were talking about was lost, and we were talking about how it's not behaviors that we're after, it's a condition. I think the way he puts it is at the beginning is he says, you're not just dealing with the child's wrong behaviors, but his condition. And that condition is being lost. And I'll just remind us that that's true even if you have a good child, even if you have a compliant child. That's still what we're dealing with. We're still dealing with lost people. And so it has to shape how we parent. And so what I wanted to just close out, he gives some good closing thoughts, and this is what we didn't get to last time. So I'm going to go through these quickly, and then we're going to jump into something else today. But he says, so what do lost children need? And so he lists off five things, and he says, insight. He says, our children need not just to be told what to do, but they also need to be enabled to see. We need to look for ways to help them understand the condition of danger that causes their behavior to be disruptive. And so that is one of the things, and these are things to keep in mind as you're disciplining. And that doesn't just mean when you're spanking them, disciplining, discipling your children all throughout the day, as we've talked about many times. But insight, so they need to be able to see that. They need to be able to see themselves. And we talked about that's one of the hardest things for us as lost people, right? Is to be able to see. Compassion. It doesn't make any sense to get mad at somebody who is lost. And it's interesting because we would, if we were on the streets preaching the gospel, we would probably approach these people, and if they were doing certain things, we'd be like, well, they're lost. I mean, that's who they are. And yet somehow at home, and maybe it's because they're with us 24/7, it's easy when these things start to be like, huh? You know, and so we've been through this. And so it doesn't make any sense to make it a matter of personal offense against you. It doesn't make any sense to condemn a lost person with words or throw a punishment at them and walk away. Lost people need understanding and compassion. Lost children don't need parents who are irritated by their lostness, but rather who mourn it and long for them to be found. Hope. As our children begin to admit the condition that they are in, as they begin to own the danger they are to themselves, what they need to be assured of is that help is available. And so that's so important, because we work really hard to help expose our kids' sin nature and their powerlessness over it, and the things that are pouring out of their hearts and where that's coming from. But they've got to understand what Jesus brings and who Jesus is to them. They need to know that not only are we not their adversaries, we are their allies. And that's because it's easy to set that up in our homes, that dad and mom just bring down the fire, but we're walking alongside of them in this. And I was telling y'all before how, you know, especially at this age where Mia's at, when she was turning 14 and 15, and I know that there's that natural desire in her to begin, that God has put in there for her to begin walking with Him and to hear Him and to listen and to begin to obey His voice. And, you know, that I just sat her down and tried to explain that to her, that this is what's happening and we're not against you. You know, so if we tell you things like, well, we don't think that's the best thing or that's not wise, then we want you to understand where we are and that we're walking alongside you in this. But even in the younger ages, and it doesn't mean, you know, I'll leave it there. We are here to do anything we can to protect, support, and guide them. But even more, they need to know that God sent His Son to earth so that when they begin to confess their need and cry out for help, they would have just the help that they need. Rescue. Parenting is not a behavior control mission. It is a heart rescue mission. We are looking for every opportunity to address heart issues in our children, praying that as we do, God will work the change in them that only He can accomplish. And then wisdom. Our children need the wisdom to know when to say no. When to say no. A successful life is all about saying no, but not to the authorities in your life or to the people you've been called to love or to God's call, but no to yourself. And so it just closes with this. So parents, what's the bottom line? Well, as Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost, He calls us to love and to rescue our lost children. We don't give way to irritation, frustration, impatience, and discouragement. We move toward our children with the grace of forgiveness, wisdom, correction, and rescue. And we pray every day that God will empower our work as parents and that He will change our children at that deepest of levels, where every human being, including us, needs to be changed. And wanted to hit those last few points. So this morning, something's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. I was having lunch with a couple of guys a few weeks ago, and one of the guys began to talk about how he was so thankful that his wife was staying at home with the kids. And he was just talking about, you know, she could have a successful career, but you know, they just believe this is what the Lord had for them, and they were willing to make any sacrifice necessary. And he just began to talk about that. And then one of the other guys began to talk about, I just don't see how we can do that in our house. I mean, things are so tight. We just don't have any way to do that. And you know, he felt like even that being their desire, that there would be no way for that to be accomplished. And so we had a conversation about in life how it's easy for us, especially as men in our homes, it's easy for us to get caught in doing things that seem wise and doing things that seem necessary. But maybe, and this is not about wives staying at home or wives going to work. We're not talking about that. And I don't think it's wrong for wives to work. I don't think that's a sin. But the point is that sometimes we get lost in seeking the Lord's way first. And so I just was meditating on that. I began looking at some scriptures and just reminded of some things. And so I want to look at those this morning. And the first one is Jeremiah 10:23. This is just a great, the way he states it is kind of just a great banner over this thought. And so in the ESV, which we all know is you know, what we should be reading out of. Y'all could have another conversation about that. It says, Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in him, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. And then I like how the Living Translation states it. It says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. And I would say this, if that every family could stamp that in your hearts right off the get-go, it would save you so much grief, and it would bring so much more power into your Christian walk, into your marriages, into your children, and your parenting, and our lives as a whole. If we could stamp that on our hearts, that our lives are not our own, we are not able to plan our own course, because it is in our nature. In fact, it's one of the strongest things in our nature, and it is for both men and women. But for men, man, it's super strong that we can figure it out, that we have, you know, we have the ability to do it. We will do it. Most of us are fix it people. You know, we just want to get it done and get it done right. We think we can do it right. And so it's something that's always battling against what God has said, which is, it's not in you to do this. And so David in Psalm 37, and we'll spend most of our time here, David in Psalm 37 speaks about this so wonderfully. Psalm 37 is actually what they call an acrostic poem. And so it's got 22 stanzas in it, and each stanza starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so I just think that's neat, because there's some other psalms like that. So it just shows that this is something that was well thought out by David. This wasn't one of his prayers. He was sitting and he was meditating on these things. He was thinking about this. And so he purposefully walks through this. And so there's a lot of talk in here about, you know, the wicked and the, you know, and those who are against us. But what I want us to look at it in this way, when we walk through Psalm 37 this time, is our way versus God's ways, and how we get trapped in walking in our own ways. And so it says, he begins in verse 1, and there'll be some verses we skip, but he says, fret not yourself because, and let me say this other thing, you're going to see many things as we walk through here that are repeated. So he repeats fret not, he repeats wait, he repeats, what are some of the other ones in here, trust and delight. And so you see these refrains in here. But one of the main things you'll see all throughout this passage is, if you go back and look at it, is the phrase, he will, that God does this, that God works these things. And so, but he says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. And so he says, fret not. And look, that's where our issues really begin, in our marriages, in our homes, in our lives. It really begins when we forsake our faith in God and we base our lives on what we see around us, what we see in others, what we see around us. And it can be, you know, you could even apply that not just to evildoers and wrongdoers. That happens to us even when we begin to look at, you know, Lee Shipp or Felix, and we begin to base our standards and our walk and our ways on what we see them doing. But he says, fret not. So David clearly understands, and he's telling us, this is going to rise up within us. It's in our nature. It's in our nature to look around us and go, and even David, which blows my mind, right? Because you would think David's got it all together, man. You know, he was called as a kid. I mean, he knew he was anointed of God as a kid. And yet David seems to indicate that, yeah, it happens to us. That we look around and we begin to wring our hands, right? That's kind of when I think of fretting and think about just, you know, wringing our hands and, man, God, look at them. What they've got over there. And just bringing it back to the context of our conversation that day at lunch, you know, his wife doesn't work, you know, she doesn't have to work. And I can't even make ends meet, you know, month to month. It's hard. It's tough. But that's where it begins. And so, you know, we think to ourselves sometimes, but it's a fact. I mean, we look around, it's reality. They are better off than I am. Or look at how their lives are compared to mine. And so, but the reality is that's not reality, because that's not the truth. And we're going to see this in this passage. We're not seeing reality, but reality has been revealed to us by God. And God begins in verse 2 to reveal that reality by saying, "For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." It may appear to our eyes that that's the right way. Oh, this is how I should do it. This is how I should walk. But he's saying that's going to pass. And in regards to finances and money and all those things and laying those things up, because that can be, I'll tell you this, in marriages, whether Christian or otherwise, or whether secular or otherwise, that's one of the things that destroy marriages the most is finances, right? The need or the thought or the feeling that I've got to have more, or it's not enough, or I'm not doing enough. Sometimes it comes from a good place, right? It's not that I want to be rich. It's that I'm not providing enough for my family. I'm not doing enough for my family, and they should have more. There should be more. And but Jesus also tells us, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth where rust and moth destroy. Yeah, sorry, Ross. destroy, but lay them up in heaven. And so God reveals that reality. He tells us what's true. And in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So trust in the Lord. That's the answer. That's the answer. We don't just ignore it or close our eyes. We don't just say, well, you know, okay, I'm just not going to pay attention to what's going on around. I'm not going to look at these other people. I'm not going to look at what's happening in other people's lives. But he says, that's not it. It's not that, or we downgrade them. And, well, it's really not as good as I thought it was for them. You know, it's trust in the Lord and do good. And I love what he says here, befriend faithfulness. That also means, and feed on faithfulness and find safe pasture is what that means. And so if we trust in the Lord and do good, so we just do what God has called us to, he commands us, he tells us, we walk in it. So if we're trusting him, we do good, then we feed on faithfulness, not the faithfulness of those around, the faithfulness of God, and we find safe pasture. That's the place of peace. And you know, in one of these young men that we were talking to, you could feel it. You could feel it in him. You could feel this angst. You could feel this trouble in him, and that he wasn't settled. And the worst part is I knew, even if he gets what he thinks he needs to make his finances square, he's still not going to have it. It's still not going to be there. And so, but then in verse 4, it's not just the promise of safe pasture, but he says, delight yourself in the Lord. And guys, that's important. You know, we've been hearing about it this week and as they've been speaking, but it's easy to, sometimes we make it hard to delight ourselves in the Lord when everything doesn't seem just right in our lives. When everything doesn't just seem so. Maybe you are going, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and things are, you know, maybe you're not even going paycheck to paycheck. Maybe you're, you know, asking Lee every once in a while, you know, or telling Christy, man, we're in trouble. You know, we got problems. And sometimes it's hard to delight in the Lord in those places. But we can do that. I remember a family that used to go here. I don't know, all of y'all are too young to remember them, the Osinacs. Ross remembers. You remember the Osinacs? And man, they were some weird pieces of cheese in a lot of ways. And but dude, they know that. We joked about that all the time. Are y'all on Zoom? Okay. But dude, one of the things I just remember, one of the things that stood out to me about their lives is that they walked according to what God had called them to. They didn't have two pennies to rub together most of the time, but they never wanted. They, of course, right? Because that's the promise of God. They never wanted. They still opened their home to anybody that wanted to come. Anybody they would feed. I mean, they just They were still cheerful givers. They were, and I just remember watching that life, and I'm thinking, that's freedom. That's safe pasture. That's life. They delighted in God every day. And so it was just such I think it spurred me on in my giving, in the way we walk before the Lord in that, but just watching their lives. And he worked hard. I mean, he worked hard at what he did, but he just didn't make a lot of money. But they knew they were doing what God called them to. And so they delighted in the Lord. And this is what's awesome, is that he says he will give you the desires of your heart. And that's an incredible promise. I mean, that should really blow our minds, that God would say, I'll give. Now, I know you're thinking, like probably a lot of us do it sometimes, oh, really? Because I've always wanted a jet ski, you know? So that's still on my bucket list somewhere. I still want one of those. God speaks to this in the very next verse, right? He says, commit your way to the Lord. Not in the next verse. In that verse, in the beginning of that verse, it's connected to delighting yourself in the Lord, right? And I'm not saying that if you delight yourself in the Lord, you're not going to have earthly desires. And I'm not saying those are wrong, you know? God, to desire to take your wife to a nice dinner, you know, or to take your husband to a nice dinner, however it may be, or to provide something for your family, to take them on a nice vacation. It's not that that's wrong, and it's not. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, our hearts will be set on Him. Our hearts will be set on what it is. In fact, you should find yourself, as you delight yourself in the Lord, you should find yourself asking God, what is it, Lord? What is it that your heart desires? What is it that you want? And what's going to happen is our hearts just become in tune with His, that we just begin to blend, and His desires become our desires. But what an awesome promise that He will give you the desires of your heart. And this isn't the only place it says that. But that's an awesome promise. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. It says He will act. He will act. That's awesome that we just commit ourselves to the Lord. We trust in Him, and then He does everything else. And the way David states it is so emphatic, that He will act. He will do it. And I know we doubt sometimes. I know that we get to looking and we think, man, if I don't do this, if I don't pick up, you know, if I don't pick up a second job, if I don't. And this was kind of the conversation we were having that day, is that one of the young men was saying, well, there's just no way. There's just no way my wife can stay at home. And my question to him was, well, is that what the Lord desires? What is it the Lord wants? And I'm not talking about, I don't think Scripture says your wife must stay home. So I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm saying. But the point was, is you need to know what God wants first. You need to know what His way is first for you, for your life, for you and your wife, for your family, for your children. You need to know that way first. So find that out first. And then when your mind and your heart begins to tell you, there's no way, no way I can make that happen. And that's what he was saying. Look, I can tell you right now, if she doesn't work, we're not going to make it. But we've reversed the order of things. What we do is we stop and say, my goodness, dude, come on. But we reverse the order. We stop and we say, Lord, all right, if that's what you've said, then I'm. And then we start to stand on these promises. God, you said you would act. You said we would have safe pasture. And there's more in here. The desires of our heart, God, that's what you said. And so we're going to do. And it changes everything. It changes. And look, it will change how you look at things. You'll stop looking around and you'll stop because, wait a minute, we are walking in the way of the Lord. And so we're committed to that. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will act. Can you commit and not give it and take it back, right? Sometimes we have the approach of, all right, Lord, if that's what you want, here it is. And we get into it and we're like, this is not working out, you know? So no way. And so, yeah, go, you know, got to do this, got to do that. Things have got to change. Commit it to him. Lay it aside. Put it at the altar. Burn it up. Don't pick it up again. And so can you commit your way to him and trust in him? If not, who else? Really? You're going to trust in yourself and your own ways? You're going to trust in your ability to provide for your family? You're going to trust in... Guys, that disappears in a car accident. That disappears in a moment, right? That disappears when COVID strikes out of the middle of nowhere. That's what you're going to trust in, is your ability. You're going to trust in somebody else's ability. I mean, we all fail. Where else would we want to go than to commit everything to God and trust in him? Charles Schwab, that was the other thing I wrote down here, because, you know, that's what we think. Yeah, I'll put it in the stock market. That'll work. It's Jesus. And then I love what he says, how he says that we'll live in the light is really what he's saying. We'll live in the light, even in the midst of seeming darkness, right? Even when darkness surrounds, we'll be in light. He says, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And what that's telling me is that I will walk in a place of light. I will walk in a safe place. And more than that, that it'll be a sign to those around me, that they'll see it, that in the midst of, especially in a time like COVID, right? If we all committed our ways to the Lord and we were all walking in this and we were delighting in him and the world is falling apart, they're going to look and say, they're going to see the light. As the morning light is the noonday, it's shining, man. They're going to see it. Be still before the Lord. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. We see it again over the one who prospers in his way. Verse 8. Fret not yourself, skipping down a little bit, fret not yourself. It tends only to evil, but and then for the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So he says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way. And it's not that others don't or shouldn't prosper. God's not saying they're not going to prosper. They do. It's just that we have a greater promise. We have a greater promise, a sure hope, and a more prosperous end. I mean, it may not seem like it in this world, but it says we prosper in our way. And he says in verse 9, he says, we shall inherit the land. And they don't. They don't inherit the land. Everyone else, they don't get it. And they don't prosper in their way. It may appear on the outside that they do. But in all of our ways, we will prosper. And he says, fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. And guys, that's the other thing to think about here, is that if we don't commit our ways to the Lord, if we do give ourselves to wringing our hands and thinking about the place we're in and how we're going to get out of it, it tends to lead to evil. It tends only to evil. And for us, evil may not look like going out and killing somebody or we're starting to sell dope or whatever. It may be that we just ignore God's will and we ignore his voice. He says to give one Sunday morning when you got $20 left in your wallet. And you say, can't do it. It's all I got left for today. Or he says, bring it back to the conversation we have. He says, I want your wife at home with the kids and I want her free. And you say, it's not going to happen. And so when we begin to think and we begin to fret and think, how's this going to work out? How are we going to do this? It tends only to evil. There's no good that will come out of it. No good. And for us, fix it, guys, remember that. So even, man, our kids, I remember Emma when she was going through a time and God, it was hard. And I was literally getting stomach ulcers, you know, from just wringing my hands, worrying all the time. And I would tell God, you know, I remember one of my friends, I called him up and was just sharing and he began to pray. And that was one of the things he said, what we talked about before, is he said, God, help him to lay it down and not pick it back up again, to just place her in your hands and not pick it. And I told him after, I said, oh man, that was such a word from God, because that's what I do. You know, one day I'm like, one day when Emma seems to have a good day, I'm like, oh, hallelujah, Lord. Yes, you're faithful. You're good. And then the next day when she's, you know, just, oh boy, the rebellion's coming out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I'm figuring out how am I going to, you know, discipline her and how am I going to do this? And, you know, trying to figure everything out. And instead of just, Lord, all right, what is it that you want to do? and then ultimately placing her in his hands. But it tends to only lead to evil, and it would. It would not only lead to trouble in my own life, but it would lead to problems in hers. My flesh gets in the way. I start to do things my way, and God's way is completely lost on her as well. And in verse 10, just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Abundant peace. Now, let me ask you this. If I told you that you can walk in your marriage with your children, and I said, you can have abundant peace, or you can have all the riches you can stand, what would you rather have? And the reality is that abundant peace, that is not riches, and it's not even financial security, as we'd say. That's a good term, right? We love to say financial security. When we say financial security, it makes it sound like we're doing something right, you know, if we're just pursuing financial security. But what is that? I remember when COVID started and we talked about it, one of the things the Lord just reminded me of is that all of his promises of provision in Scripture, none of them, not a single one of them, are connected to our ability, to our doing. Yes, he speaks to the sluggard and says, hey, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But that's to a particular place that someone's walking in. But when it comes to us trusting in the way of God, none of it is based on our ability. None of it is based on our ability to earn or to do. It's him. And just like we see in this promise, in this thing, if you go back and read through this, there's so many he wills in here. He does this, he does that. And so don't get tricked by the term financial security. You'll never have it, ever. And I'll tell you this, there's no greater place than to just be walking in faith when it comes to those things. There's so much freedom, so much life, and God is able to do whatever he wants in those times. So abundant peace is what it brings us. And so I wouldn't trade abundant peace for all those things, and you're not going to get abundant peace from all those things. So verse 16, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. And the wicked, skipping down to verse 21, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. That's one of the awesome things in this, is that when we commit our ways to the Lord and we give ourselves to him, we hear all the time about being a cheerful giver, right? If you want to be a cheerful, then commit your ways to him. And then you'll be a cheerful giver, because you're not going to think about, well, wait a minute, that's not going to work. The Dave Ramsey thing, that giving envelope is empty. You know, I can't give anymore. And I'm not saying that's wrong, guys. If you're doing the Dave Ramsey thing, kill it. You know, go for it, because get out of debt. You want to say something?
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. We just talked about Dave Ramsey. Like, we were taking the financial security cuts. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
If you have more money, it exposes your problems even more.
Amen.
It exposes you even more. It exposes, you know, whatever outside of money, you know, your marital problems or whatever.
Like, amen.
That's what exposes you more. So, like, it was, like, you know, really, you know, I guess apt to say, and I wanted to focus on that just because, like, it will. Like, money will never fix your own heart. You know, never
amen.
Fix someone else's heart.
Amen. Amen.
Can I add to that real quick?
Yeah.
Well, that Friday hit and I didn't get my paycheck. I was like, Lord, are you sure?
Yeah.
And then, like, the other day, God's brought us into a place where, you know, I've always said I don't worry about money, but I realize I worry about money a lot more than I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other day, if it rains, I don't get to work. But the other day, the Lord just gave me peace when I was leaving a lesson. And he said, this is what I've got to do right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of all your finances. And
amen.
I'm amen. Way less. And I'm just like, Lord, I trust you right now.
know? Yeah.
And I know it's a season, but I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Man. But I can testify this guy's a monster tennis player. My kids, my kids are wondering what this guy.
It's true, and guys, I'll tell you this too, that if we get out of sorts in this way, if we get the things out of order, it'll lead you. I remember, you know, I took my whole family over to Saudi Arabia because I did not listen to the Lord, and it was a trying and hard time, and I mean, it'll lead you to do crazy. And I thought I was doing it for God, but I knew when we got there and when we stopped, and I just thought, Lord, I did not wait on you. I got so far ahead of you, and it was for different reasons that I don't have time to explain today. But let me just finish out what he says here in Psalm 37. Those who are blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Think about that. Think about that. Isn't that where we want to walk in our families? Isn't that what the promise we want for our families? Because you're going to fall. There's going to be moments. There's going to be moments in your life where you're falling. We're not talking about falling into sin necessarily. It could just be a hard trial, a hard time. But you're going to fall. And it says, he will not be cast headlong. The Lord holds his hand. Man, that's an incredible thought. And the image here is like a kid, right? You know, you're holding Mia's hand, right? And she's waddling along and she stumbles. And if you weren't holding her hand, it would be a full facial, right? And it would be a whole lot of screaming and crying. But you're holding their hand. And so when they stumble, you immediately clench. You hold them. No issues. They regather their feet. You keep walking, and we continue to walk in that peace. We continue to walk in that abundant peace. And I'm going to read these three passages from Proverbs. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 16:9. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Proverbs 19:21. And a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? His way. Meaning our own way. We can't. It is a snare to say rashly, it is holy, and to reflect only after making vows. Proverbs 20, 24, and 25. And so David says here, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord holds his hand. And in Proverbs, Solomon's telling us, says, look, we try to plan our way. That's our nature. We try to plan our way. We make these, and we even fool ourselves sometimes. We say, oh, it is holy. This is good. This is what we should do. But it's just us. It's just us planning our own way. But it says God. It's God's way. He guides our steps. He ordains our steps. And isn't that where we want to walk? David says, we studied this before, we were looking at this before, but David says elsewhere in the Psalms, he says, talking about when we were knit together in our mother's womb, he says he knows every one of our days already. He already knows every one. I want to walk in the days he's planned for me. I want to be in every one of those days. I want all of those steps. And so I felt rushed in this, but I just, what I want us to remember, whether it's finances or other things that we're dealing with, is guys, in your house, especially you men, as you're leading as the priest of your home, is that you find out what God's way is first, what it is that he has for you. And if you don't know it, then don't move. Just wait. Wait on him. He'll tell you in just the right time, in just the right way. You will hear him. It's his promise. His sheep hear his voice. You will hear him. He will not let you go blindly. He's not ever going to say, he's not ever going to say, all right, since I don't have time to tell you what's going on, just go ahead and get after it. You know, you see how it goes. If it messes it up, we'll fix it later. He'll never tell you that. So wait on him. Listen to him, walk in his way, and all of these things will be added to you. Don't get them out of order, because it will only lead to trouble. It'll only lead to trouble. The very thing you were trying to avoid, the very thing that you thought you could avoid, it will fill your life. It will fill your home. It'll fill your marriage. It will fill your children. And it doesn't have to be that way. It can be the exact opposite. Abundance of peace, our righteousness shining as the sun, as the noonday, and and God being glorified and magnified. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord. I know it's quick, Father, but just write these things. Help us to meditate on these things. And God, and to minister this to one another and to encourage one another in this. Go before us now, Father. Fill us, Holy Spirit, as we walk into this service, that we can honor and glorify you and worship you in spirit and in truth, that we might hear, that we might respond, that you might be glorified, that Jesus would be lifted up. In Christ's name, amen.